Genesis chapter 6 again, and we'll read from verse 9. We read these verses a few weeks ago when we looked at Noah and the flood. Then last week we looked at the reason for the flood, the first 8 verses. But we're back at these verses, and we're looking at the preparation for the flood. Genesis 6 and verse 9, this is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. We hear that his days will be 120 years. And there's two ways to look at that, that man's age was greatly reduced, although there were those on in the book of Genesis who lived way past 120 years. Or it may have been the time when God amendicated the flood until the flood actually came about. 120 years of preparation. As one has put it, one last period of grace is fixed by God for the repentance of mankind. But nobody did repent. There was just Noah and his family. And we know in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So as he built, and I'm sure there were those who helped him, he would have preached as well. He would have warned man. He would have warned. Because he did warn. Because Hebrews 11 verse 7 says, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. So Hebrews 11 verse 7 is his response to Genesis 6 and verse 14. Where God said to him, so make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. And then we have the measurements of the ark. And one has said his faith in God's word moved him to build the ark in a dry, landlocked region, where it was inconceivable that there would ever be enough water to float the vessel. There had never been rain before. People didn't know what rain was. No water had ever fallen from rain clouds. And the world that we live in tonight, the post-flood world, is so different from what it was before the flood. And we might find more out about that next week. Our continents and our oceans, our landscape, the weather, the climate, everything would have been so different before the flood compared to now. But just to give a couple of wee images here, if I can work this thing here. And you can see that there are images like that in many children's books. And of course, Noah's Ark isn't to be taken too seriously. And there's many a thing like that. And then you can even make a cake. There's a Noah's Ark cake. And that's an opportunity to eat the ark and all the animals in it. So not to be taken seriously. And even a wee toddler, you can buy a skirt with a mark and animal images on it. But we're going to come to the size of the ark. And there's just an image. Sorry, it's gone now. Lost it. So there we are. So that gives an idea of maybe the size of the ark. Now that's an American juggernaut. And this is a wee man. That is the driver of the lorry. And so you can see the size of the ark. So we'll just keep that up. And it'll give you just an idea of what it was like. But we can see three simple things of an outline. And they were here. The ark's plans. The ark's provision. And the ark's precision. The ark's plans is in verses 14 to 16. And you can see that it was going to be strong. An ark of cypress wood. Now, we don't exactly know what a wood it was, but it was a strong wood, and cypress wood is strong wood to withstand the battering that it was going to receive. So cypress wood is a hard, dense wood. So the ark was built to withstand a battering. It was strong. And we learn also in these verses, it was secure. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. Just something like this image. Make a room for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. And more about that in a moment or two. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle and upper decks. So it was a three-story thing. Rooms in it. Now there were four married couples on board, so they would have had a room each for a start. And then all of the other rooms or pens or cages would have been for the animals that were on the ark. Secure in the sense. Coated with pitch inside and out. This ark was made waterproof. This ark was not made to sail. It was made to float. Noah didn't become Captain Noah. They just all aborted the ark. The Lord closed the one door. It was made to float. It had no rudder. It had no navigational purposes of any kind. It was just made to float. It wasn't made to sail. It wasn't going to any particular destination. It wasn't going to spring a leak or sink. Noah and his family, once they were on board, they needn't have had any doubts. I wonder, will this thing sink? I wonder, will it sink on its maiden voyage? I wonder, is this thing going to go down? It never did. God gave the instructions, you see. He didn't tell Noah to build an ark and leave the rest up to Noah at what size it was going to be. God gave Noah the measurements. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. Now, of course, since then, there have been larger ocean-going vessels. But God at the time knew that this was big enough for the purpose and for what he was going to unleash upon the world. Those people trusted God on the ark. The moment the Lord shut that door, they trusted God that they were in a place of safety. The only place of safety in the world at that time. Safe from the judgment of the flood. Coated with pitch inside and out. The only other mention of this type of covering and security is another story that we know so well. Baby Moses. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. This wee basket, the first Moses basket, there's been many since. This wasn't going to sink either. Moses was safe and secure from all alarms in that little basket. And one has said that as the little ark on the waters of the Nile kept baby Moses safe from drowning, so Noah's ark in the great flood kept alive all who were within. When the judgment of God fell, Noah and his family were safe in the ark. It prefigures the saving work of Christ. The final judgment was experienced by Christ on the cross, so that all who belong to him are safe from the coming day of wrath. Just the same as the ark was made waterproof from the judgment of the fire, or the judgment of the flood, so the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the fireproof. As I mentioned this morning, today, he's the only place of safety from the judgment of the fire that is about to come upon the world in Christ. Somebody else could have gone away and made themselves some kind of a shelter. Maybe they did. Maybe people headed to the highest ground that they could find, thinking that they were going to be safe. But the waters kept rising, and they had to try and find higher ground. The waters kept rising until people would have just given up hope. And there was no hope. There was no hope outside the ark. There's only safety in the ark. And Noah had preached for 120 years for people to come into the ark. And they didn't come. And when Noah and his family were in the ark, you know, they didn't experience a drip of water. The judgment of the flood didn't come in upon them. They were safe. So it was strong. It was secure. And they were 53 weeks in the ark, just over a year. Chapter 7, verses 6 and 7 says, Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. And chapter 8 and verse 13 says, by the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Just over a year on the ark. What a year it must have been. It would have been a year of working on the ark. There was all the animals to feed and water and to look after. It was strong, it was secure, it was spacious. There was plenty of room in the ark. Make rooms in it. Make lower, middle and upper decks. This was a huge vessel, 450 feet long. That's about 140 meters long, if you can picture an athletics track, 100 meters, another 40 meters beyond that. 140 meters long, 23 meters wide, and 13 and a half meters high, or thereabouts. I wonder who built the ark. Would Noah and his sons just have built this huge vessel? Maybe they did. One has said, if one or two men today can erect a large house in just 12 weeks, how much more could three or four men do in a few years? I just think of the building that has gone on beside the manse this past year. This time last year, two men moved in, cleared the old cottage, took away hedges, trees, leveled the site. The foundations went in, and now there's three lovely dwellings beside us. Two, I'm at the task, and two semis, lovely landscaped around. And at any one time, there would not have been any more than five men. And that's the work that they've done in a year. And some days they weren't even there. So four men building an ark, building this vessel, they could have done it in 120 years. We don't know if there was other outside help or not from the family. But it was purposefully made. The dimensions were perfect. And under this heading that the ark's plans, God gave the plans, all the details. It was strong, it was secure, it was spacious, it was simple. There was only one door. You can see a picture of it there. There was only one door in the side of the ark. Put a door in the side of the ark. That door was open a long time. Once it was there, it was open for people to enter. It was there for all the animals to enter, just one door. And then there came a time, of course, when that door was closed. Chapter 7 and verse 16. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. Noah didn't close the door. Then the Lord shut him in. We live in days of the gospel where there's only one door. Jesus himself said, I am the door. Someday that door will be closed. It's open at the minute. The invitation is given to you regularly to make sure you're on the other side of the door. Make sure you're in. Don't be outside when the judgment of the fire falls. Be in Christ. The ark's plans. We can see in verse 21 the ark's provision. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. And on that ark for around 53 weeks there would have been ample food. Nothing and no one starved to death on the ark. There would have been plenty of food and water, maybe rainwater. But if you use your imagination, you know what about all the waste? You know what about all the animal dung? Because you have to think about those things too, you know. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and stored away as food for you and food for them. Do you see what it says up in verse 16? Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. That would have let fresh air in and the odours out. All the methane, all of that kind of thing. There may have been other ways to get rid of all the waste. And Dr. Don Batten of Creation Ministries, in a little booklet here, he says this: how did Noah's family dispose of the waste of thousands of animals every day? The amount of labour could be minimised in many ways. Possibly they had sloped floors and or slatted cages where the manure could fall away from the animals and be flushed away, plenty of water around, or destroyed by composting by worms, which would also have provided earthworms as a food source for animals. Very deep bedding can sometimes last for a year without needing a change. Absorbent material, example sawdust, soft wood, shavings, and especially peat moss, would have reduced the moisture content and hence the odour. So you have to think about these things too. There was ventilation, certainly, on the ark. The ark's provision, plenty of food, plenty of water. Everybody was going to be comfortable enough. There would have been enough food to go round, enough water to go round. And of course in John 6 and verse 35, again, this thought brings us to the Lord Jesus. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. The Lord Jesus Christ is ample food and water for the soul, to take us through this life and also into eternity. And just looking at the size of the ark, just Rodney gave another statistic that the Bible class learned this morning. It would have stored 432 London double-decker buses. So they mightn't have got in through that one door, but you can just imagine the size, the capacity. Just the capacity of this ark. This was a huge vessel at the time. And so we see the ark's plans and the ark's provision, and we see the ark's precision. Verses 19 and 20. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. Will come to you. Noah and his family didn't go out and round animals up. when the time came for them to enter the ark, the Lord brought them. They will come to you. Maybe already animals were using their migratory instinct that God had given to them. They migrated to the ark. And even talking about on the ark and about food and so on, maybe quite a few of the animals would have hibernated. Maybe some hibernated on the ark. And they just slept for months. But migration, that countless, fascinating capabilities of God's animal kingdom. And the animals went in two by two. But also they went in by seven. Because it says in chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, take with you seven of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate. And two of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate. And also seven of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. To keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. Why was there an odd number? Because after the flood and after Moses and his family came down out of the ark, Noah built an altar and made sacrifices. And he took one of the seven as the sacrifice. But you've got to see that there was enough room on the ark for these animals. Because it talks about kinds. Now, from kinds comes species. All different kinds of animals in the ark, even dinosaurs. Maybe not the big T-Rexes that we are used with in the likes of Jurassic Park and all the rest of it. But you know, there would have been dinosaurs of some shape and size. And there may not have been animals that were in their full maturity, like elephants. I mean, baby elephants could have gone on board that were still in the process of growing. The same with giraffes and so on. And then, of course, after a year, they still mightn't have grown all that much. And then they were able to populate the earth. But again, statistics have given and said that the ark could have carried 125,000 sheep-sized animals. But of course, there were bigger ones too. But kinds interbreed. Take dogs, for example. We're used with dogs, and some of you have dogs. But there's about 500 different breeds of dogs in the world today. But all that would have been needed on the ark was two common canine dog-like kind. Just two. And other dogs would have come from them. It's the same with cattle. The same with horses. All the different kinds of breeds and species that we have today. Just all the different, from these different kinds. And so it's good that when you read these chapters, to get other minds, to get other helpful literature on Noah and the flood, and you see this all for yourself. But the thing that stands out here too is Noah's obedience. Noah was told all this. This was of something that he'd never heard before. This was all strange. But verse 22 says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. He didn't doubt God's word. He trusted God's word. He accepted God's word. And want to say that this simple statement summarizes a whole century of absolute obedience to God's word by Noah under the most difficult and discouraging of circumstances. No doubt when Noah began to preach and to warn people and tell them what God had told them, he would have got some abuse. I'm sure people said things to him. I'm sure he was looked upon as eccentric and mad. But the judgment of the flood came. People went about their business. People went about their pleasure. Marrying and giving in marriage and having families and being industrious. And ignored Noah's preaching. Noah's warning. Just the same as people today. People are going about their business and their pleasure, but ignoring the preaching of God's word. That the judgment of the flood is behind us, and we have evidence of that all around us. But there will be the judgment of the fire, as 2 Peter chapter 2 points out to us. We live before that judgment, and we are to be Noah-like. We are to be like Noah. If we want to be accepted by God. Verse 9, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Amidst all the abuse that he would have received, he walked with God. And so you can see that this is a serious thing. As the judgment of the fire will be, so the judgment of the flood was. And what are the two elements that man fears most? Fire and water. But those are the two things that he's very careful around. He's very careful at the coast and swimming and how we've heard of people who have drowned. And we're very careful around those two elements, fire and water. And yet those were the two elements that God, he has used one already to judge the world, and he will use the other in a coming day. And that's why we must be like Noah. That's why Jesus Christ is the ark in the New Testament. That's why Jesus Christ is the ark of God today, the ark of the gospel. And you have to enter in by that one door, and you will be safe from that judgment of fire. Think seriously about these things.